So by forgetting him, we are all unhappy. So God sends messengers to guide the child humanity back to God. So the masters come from time to time, but they are not the monopoly of any sect or religion. They come to guide the child humanity like sun gives light all the world over. There is no east or west for them. The whole creation is the house of our Father. The earth below and sky overhead. They say they bring a message. What? They say there is God, whom we have forgotten. He is the maker of all universe. He is controlling all universe and permeating all universe. He also controls us in the man body too. So we are all children of the same God. Our souls are of the same essence as that of God. So we are all brothers and sisters in God. As I submitted that we were someday in the lap of God, ever since we are separated from God, we have forgotten Him and engaged in narrow-mindedness and bigotry and in schisms. The result was and is that we are unhappy. They tell us that all mankind is one, born with the same privileges from God, born the same way, outer and inner construction the same, two hands, 2 feet, 2 eyes, 2 nostrils, 2 ears, inner construction the same, they've got stomach, lungs, heart, brain. Every day morning, municipality takes out filth of the body. No high, no low. So they bring two messages. One, that there is God. They say they have seen it. And in man body you can also see. This is a golden opportunity afforded to you. And the other thing they tell us, that all mankind is born with the same privileges from God. So moreover, we all worship some power, called by so many names, and it is also the same. The archers may be many, but the target is the same. So as man, as soul, as worshipper of the same power called by different names, we are only one. This unity exists as man, as soul, and as God whom we worship. This unity we have forgotten. Master come to have this unity realized. So they press that God is not out of this universe. He also resides in the universe. He controls our course. He is the maker, but He is throughout all creation and still above it. So the result comes that God is love. Our souls are of the same essence as that of God. Love is innate in our souls. And they say, as God is the creator and resides in every heart, we should love God And it is He who made us in the womb of the mother. And as it lies in every heart, we should also love all. Because this is the message they give us. So these masters, when they come, they come at a time when people out of bigotry and narrow-mindedness, their own schisms, strifes, they come to reconcile, giving them the right understanding. Guru Nanak came at a time when there were two parties very strong, Hindus and Mohammedans. They came and preached. He said, "I am neither a Mohammedan nor a Hindu." "Then who you are? Can the eye see God and Allah is the same whom we worship?" Kabir came up. He also said the same thing. "I am neither Hindu nor a Mohammedan. I consider both alike, with the same privilege from God." So then they questioned him, "All right, if you are neither a Hindu, you are carrying the label of a Hindu, how can you say you are not Hindu?" He said, "Of course, the label is carrying of a Hindu, but I am not, I am something else." He said, "What you are, then my body is made of five elements, and that power which limits this body, that I am." So he gave out that we are all reading in the same class. As in class you find men of different denominations reaching in the same class, so we are all wearing different labels of on the bodies, we are all one class reading to reach God. Then he said, "How can we see or reach God?" Then there is one thing, what? All attachments that we have got with the body are outer things, those should be burnt down and make a ink of it. And with your conscious self, go on writing the name of God, remembrance of God. So these outer attachments only keep us away from God. So this is a very simple thing which they bring to the world. One, there is God whom we have forgotten. The other, that all men are alike. And no high, no low. So further thing, what they say, this world, as some considered, that came of its own, some of its own self, as a reaction of matter, he said no. And scientists have now come to the conclusion that the whole world, there is a power controlling all creation which is conscious. They are coming to that now. So they come to what? To realize people that there is God, and God is love. Love is innate in ourselves, and the way back to God is also through love. So love God and love all those in which He resides too. So all masters came up, they come to develop this love for God and for all humanity. They bring no new religion but a religion of love. So all masters who came, they said, Bible says, "Love thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength." And they say, "Love thy neighbor as thyself." Those who say, "We love God whom they have not seen," and they hate the world, people at large, they say they are a liar. Whom they see, they cannot love them. How can they love God whom they have not seen? So all masters came up, gave out the same thing. Tenth Guru of the Sikhs came up. He said, "Look here, in all the world over, God permeating and all. He exists in all bodies, resides in all bodies. Don't torment anybody. If you torment anybody, the father of the children will, you will have to pay for it. So, other master say, you want to know God, then don't torment anybody, because God resides in every heart. We are, as it were, the limbs of the same father. If one limb aches, the other cannot be at rest. So all masters, they said, what you say is all creation of the same God. Whether we are having, what you say, labels of one religion or another, that makes no difference. There is no heart without it. So if you realize this thing, true father of good God and true brother of man will arise. And you can bring down heaven and earth. So great is man. Man body is the golden opportunity that has been given to us, afforded to us by God, because in man body only we can know God. Vedas say it is a place where God can manifest. So all masters, as they came in the east of the verse, they say, body is the two masks in which he resides. Quran tells us, when the man of body was set up, God ordered angels to bow down before him. So great is man, it is next to God. And all outer temples were made after the model of man body, dome shaped Hindu temples, nose had shaped long churches, forehead shaped masks. They were all made after the model of man, and what they kept, God, when he wished, one wished to be many, there was vibration, and vibration results in two things, light and sound. God is light and God is sound principle. You find everywhere that, in temples, mosques, churches, and all the other holy places of worship. So which is good and which is bad? All are the models of the man body to show that such like light of God is shining within you, and such like music of the spheres or voice of God is heard within you. So which is the best of all? The master says the best of all is the human body in which God light is manifest, and whose voice is God is reverberating in all man body. So that is why master said, take heed that the light which is within you is not darkness. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and light on my path. He is wordless. When he came to world, world is the cause of all creation. Word has, is a light, is a lamp on my feet and light on my path. Guru Nanak says, God is nameless. When it came to being, it is called Naam. Whenever we come in contact with it, we see light of God comparing to thousands of suns rising together. So master come and look here. Your conscious entities, the drop of the ocean of all consciousness. We are truly speaking brothers and sisters in God. So our true home is where? We are conscious entities. Our true home should be the place where it is all consciousness, the true home of our Father. So masters all to tell, well, man body is a true temple of God in which God resides. Outer Kaaba was raised by Khalil, Prophet Khalil of Rahman. And this man body made by whom? God himself in the womb of the mother. In Quran, God says, I am the hidden treasure within you. O man, why don't you find me? Guru Arjan says, Guru Nanak says, that there is a treasure, divinity within you, just have one word from the Master and you will have it. He will give you demonstration of that. The word Guru means what? Close your eyes, the darkness, you can remove this darkness and make light refulgent, manifest to you. Such a man is called a Master, such a man is called Guru. So, body is the two temple of God, two church of God, two mosque of God, two Kaaba. All the outer things were made out of the man's body. Guru Nanak says, body is the two temple of God in which the light is fully effulgent. Outer models were made only for the beginners. Just we teach the children by dolls like that, you see, to show such like light is within you and such like voice of God is being heard within you. So as their masters, practical masters I mean, these people got the benefit of it. When they left the scene, naturally the school of thought came into being, the labels of which we are carrying, Hindus, Mohammedans, Christians, Jews and all. The purpose was to keep the teachings of the masters alive. As long as they were practical people, they derived the benefit of it. For want of practical people, we hollowed out our temples, all right, but the seeing of the God within us, that was forgotten. So you will find as man, as soul, as God whom we worship, we are all one unity already exists. Master come to have this unity realized. So ever since we were separated from God, why we have forgotten God? They tell us the reason. Then the remedy for that. Reason is that ever since we are souls, souls have been under the control of mind. Mind has been under the control of outgoing faculties. Outgoing faculties are driven like anything by the outside enjoyment. It is we who give life to the outgoing faculties, to mind. But we are driven like anything. The whole thing topsy-turvy. Horse is being put before the cart. So the Master tell us how to come out of this. You find our body is made of matter. Matter is changing every moment of life. The world around us is also made of matter. That is also changing at the same speed as our body is changing. As we are identified with the body and outside world, two things, though changing, appear to be stationary. It is an optical illusion. Just take a case of a boat in which some men are rowing down the stream. Those are one with the boat. They are going down the stream at the same speed the boat is going and the water is going. Men outside on the side of the road, so where, dear friend, you are being rowing down the stream. They look to the water, they look to the boat. What are you telling? We are stationary. It is not optic illusion. The only remedy, we should come out of the boat. So masters tell us what to do. They say us, look here, you come out of the boat. Know thyself who you are, what you are. You are not the body, you have the body. You are not the intellect, you have got the intellect. You are not the outgoing faculties, you have the outgoing faculties. But all the machinery of man's body is run by you. Like a powerhouse which runs the whole factory. Similar, our own self, which is conscious, that enlivens the whole body. And we are controlled in the body by some power, which is called God. So, Master, come, one thing, this grand illusion. The other thing, the law of cause and effect is going on. As you sow, so should he. First we are under a delusion, the other thing is we are under the control of the law of cause and effect. The reason is, ever since we have left God, we have forgotten God, we never dream of going back. We are going round and round and round. So Guru Nanak very clearly says, as long as you do not analyze yourself to rise above body consciousness, you cannot come out of this delusion. The only thing remains now what? To come out of the boat of the man body. So all masters of philosophers who came in the past, they gave out what? What you have to tell us, the ultimate goal of all knowledge is to know self. Man has got three aspects, you know. It has got physical body, it has got intellect, but it is a conscious being. We have known so much about physical bodies, we advanced wonderfully. So far as intellect is concerned, we have got so many new inventions. But if we are not known about our own selves, the philosopher said we are fools, we are ignorant. Man's body is the highest in creation, we should develop all around, physically, intellectually, and spiritually. Physically, we know so many paths how this man's body can be kept, in health. Outside intellectually, you know, we can hear, see men talking from thousands of minds through radio, televisions. We can go around the world in hours. We have reached the moon last night also. Another trip was taken to moon, you see. We are at other trying to attend other men too. With all these in advancement, we are not happy because we have known little or nothing practically our own self, what we are. What. So Master said that this one thing, the only remedy is to come out of this delusion or ignorance, or out of this optical illusion, is to leave the boat, rise above. Now all Master came from time to time, they preach the same thing. I'm telling you in this way, they said in their own way. Emerson said, tap inside. Christ said, except ye be born anew, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Nicodemus, Jewish head, was a very learned man. He came up, Lord, we are elderly people, how can you re-enter the womb of the mother and be reborn? He said, well, look here, people worship you like anything. You are a very great learned man. Don't you know that spirit is born of the spirit and flesh of the flesh? Then said, you must be reborn. One birth in this man body, the other into the beyond. When you rise above, your whole angle of vision has changed. This very world appears to be all changing. Similar to these very things are preached by rishis of the old. There is a custom amongst the Hindus, they make children twice born at the age of 5, 7, 9 years old in the old days. You know that custom prevails. They gave them Gayatri Mantra. Gayatri Mantra means rise above bodies and catch the ray of the sun and be one with the sun. O God, direct our souls to that truth. This is a prayer. And children were given demonstration of rising above physical body and see the sunlight within. That custom still prevails amongst the Hindus. But they give the same mantra, but no demonstration for want of practical people. It is just a process of leaving the body. This is a process of to be reborn. First we must die, then reborn. We should rise from the physical body above, die this way, rise that way. That is why I said to you, learn to die so that you may begin to live. Saint Plutarch tells us, those who are initiated into the mysteries of the beyond, their soul has the same experience of leaving the body as it has at the time of death. I see you might attend some man dying. What happens? He does not recognize you. You call him, he does not hear you. Because his attention is withdrawn from the eyes and ears. Ultimately, the eyes are upturned. And drops in comes. This is dying this way, dying that way. In actual death, the cerebral cord, which is based on the reactions of the past karmas, that is broken. In this life, to die while alive, that cerebral cord still remains intact, it's not broken. You have to come back. Prophet Muhammad in Quran says, Mautu ke blantar, learn to die before your death. They came to the Prophet and said, is it a death which will lead us to the grave? He said, no. It is such a death that won't lead you to the grave, but it is a death which will lead you from darkness to light. Sun sets this way, rises the other way. So they go, you got to man body, go, learn to die and derive the full benefit from your man body. And this all other master, Dadu, says the same thing in his own language. Die before die, usual death everybody has got ultimately. Guru Nanak says, learn to die, learn such a yoga, how to leave the body at will. Then he goes on to say, learn to die 100 times a day. I was in India 3 months back. I am now here. No more there, but here exists, is it not? There is something like that. So for that reason, moral room, he says we are in the prison house of the man body. It is locked from all outside. We cannot run away out of it. How to go out? We can make a hole in the roof and go out. So it is what something take cross daily. This is cross. Rise up body, daily. Saint Paul said, I die daily. I am quoting all this to you, the basic teachings of all scriptures, of all masters who came in the West, they have been the same. How to come out of the delusion is to rise above body consciousness. They said, man know thyself, Gnotisiaton. Greek philosopher said in their own language, oh man know thyself. Latin philosopher also said the same thing, Nasi Tipsum. Guru Nanak says, you rise above body consciousness and know yourself, you cannot be out of the delusion. So man knows thyself, we generally take it as a level of senses or driving influences, our feelings. It is really a practical self-analysis of rising above body consciousness. Then know yourself, you'll find some power keeping you in the body.
Hello. Welcome to the satsang for Master Kripal Singh. The recording you just heard was the first 30 minutes of the evening talk given by Master on 8 December 1972. This was given at the Unity Church in Miami, Florida. Our reader this morning is Eileen Pokorny.
Good morning, everybody. This morning we will be continuing through the Wheel of Life, starting on page 15, towards the bottom of the page, and we will be reading from the PDF version. One can learn how to withdraw not only from one's physical body, but from the other two bodies, the astral and the causal as well, through the kindly assistance of a master saint who has himself transcended into the beyond and can help others do likewise. One has therefore to forsake the flesh for the spirit if one is anxious to escape from the perpetual wheel of life on this sublunary planet Earth. In the ordinary natural course of things, the jiva, the embodied soul, or the incarnate spirit, has, after physical death, no option but in time to return to the physical plane in some physical form, the nature of which is determined by his lifelong propensities and inclinations, the intensity of his longings and long-cherished unfulfilled desires enshrined in his mental makeup and predominantly uppermost at time of death, the overbearing influence of which irresistibly shapes a course for him. So kind and generous is the Father Divine, he grants unto his children what they desire. But if one, under the guidance of a perfect master, Sant Satguru, learns the process of self-analysis, i.e. self-withdrawal from the physical body at will, and develops it by regular practice, he, while living, gets an experience of the beyond, death and life, with the result that gradually the age-old scales of his make-believe begin to fall away from his eyes, and the world and worldly things lose their hypnotic charm, and he, while seeing things in their true colors, and understanding the intrinsic worth of each, grows desireless and free, a master of himself, a liberated soul, and thereafter continues to live on just to complete his allotted span of life without attachment. This is called a new birth, or second advent of the soul. Life eternal. But how can one attain it? Christ tells us, he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. That is in Matthew. In the Gospel of Luke we have, and he, Jesus, said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Thus we see that death in Christ is the way to live with Christ eternally. Learn to die so that you may begin to live is the exordium of all the saints. Among the Muslims, this is known as the self-effacement in the Master. It is therefore of paramount importance that one should first seek a living master competent enough to wind up otherwise endless cycle of karmas, and then seek refuge at his holy feet, and thereby free oneself from the baneful influence of one's deeds, which continue to haunt a person in the form of Eumenides and Furies. Of the power of the Jagat Guru, it is said, a Jagat Guru can annihilate karmas by his look and word. In his presence, the karmas fly like autumn leaves before a wind. Again, we have in scripture, great is the power of the reputable angel, and none can escape his fury. But it doth fly in the fear of death before the sounding blast of the word. Now, as the working of karmic law, the following example may help us to understand the position more explicitly. Take two kinds of grape seeds, yellow and brown. Suppose the yellow seeds represent good deeds, and the brown seeds represent bad deeds. A room full to the roof in which heaps of both kinds of seeds are lying. This forms man's storehouse of sanchit karmas. Now there is a person referred to as A, which is physical body plus mind plus soul, who has long cherished a desire during his lifetime to become a king. He falls ill, and his unfulfilled desire to be a king all the time remains uppermost in his mind. He, in due course, is compelled by nature to surrender his physical body, but according to the law of life after death, he is still clothed in the astral, mental, and causal ethereal bodies. He now functions as a disembodied or disincarnate spirit in his other realm, the mind stuff, both astral and causal. Since mind is the storehouse of all impressions, A still remembers his desire to be a king. A, now disembodied spirit, jiva, disrobed of the physical body, is faced with a difficulty. He cannot function as a king until once again he puts on a physical vesture as may enable him to be a king at one stage or another in his earthly career. Propelled by the unerring motor power behind all activity, his mind stuff, he is led on to pick up some unfructified karmas sufficient enough to bring about a new set of circumstances as may help him to have the long cherished and deeply engraved desire fulfilled. The great motor power referred to above has two aspects, positive as well as negative, the former leading to the journey homeward and later controlling and guiding life on the earth plane. Nature, or the negative aspect of the power that is one, is concerned solely with the administration of life as it exists on the physical planet, its chief function being to keep the world going, fully peopled, and people engaged in various pursuits of life according to the earned merit in each case, called in a karmic parlance as pralabdha, which fashions the earthly life for each individual with an absolute precision and an unfailing art. To the extent described above, one is in sort of closed trap and cannot but unfold what comes with him in a folded state. It is a revelation of the unrevealed past in the seed or the essence lying dormant at the back of the essential mind stuff and is projected on the canvas of life with its multifarious patterns and diverse colors, taking on different lines as life emerges out of the pristine, unalloyed, and eternal radiance, of which we generally lose sight as we get absorbed in the dome of many-colored glass that encloses us and presses us from all sides with the passage of time. Dame Nature now takes charge of her foster child and lavishes in plentitude all her gifts, so much so that unknowingly one enjoys in fullness and is to surfeit all for which he hankered in the past. Dazzled by the glamorous of the gifts, one forgets the great benefactor, the bestower of the gifts, and is inextricably caught in the meshes of death. This is but one part of the life that A leads as a predestined game. Along with this, there is yet another, a very vital counterpart, depending on the freedom of action and independence that is given to each. It is in correctly understanding the higher values of life and making the most of the opportunities given to him that is his salvation lies right here and now. Paradoxically, then, man is not only a creature of his destiny, past, but a creator of his destiny, future, as well. What we bring must come to pass, and what we do now shall shape the things to come. Wisdom, therefore, lies in making the choice. The mind power is a single entity, and if harnessed correctly, can, like an obedient servant, render a good account of itself. But if allowed to overpower the life-giving spirit, it proves a treacherous parasite that saps the vitality and shrivels up the host plant on which it thrives, and from which it derives its very life and sustenance. Thus one may pay all his attention to the proper sowing and cultivation while playing his destined part in the human drama on the stage of life, in the light of the eternal radiance that shines through, thick and thin, whether we know it or not. The supreme will is already wrought in the pattern of our very being, for without it there can be no existence. And in knowing that will, and by working in unison with that will, one can escape from the wheel of life. Guru Nanak in Jabji speaks of it thus: how can one know the truth and break through the cloud of falsehood? There is a way, O Nanak, to make his will our own, his will which is already wrought in our existence. We thus seek that karmas and desires are responsible for the cycles of births and rebirths. How then can one escape this ceaseless cycle? There are only two ways to exhaust or finish up the vast and limitless storehouse of karmas, the impenetrable granite wall between a person and the High One, with the blindly thick veil of ignorant mind ever covering the eyes. The two ways to solve this ever-eluding and baffling problem are: A. to leave it to nature to exhaust the storehouse in due course of time, should that be all possible. Or B, to obtain from a master soul a practical knowledge and experience of the science of life on the earthly as well as the spiritual planes, and to work right now for transition from one to the other whilst there is still a chance and an opportunity. The first, of course, is not only an endless, long, but torturous in the extreme and tricky at every step and full of dangers and pitfalls. It will take myriads of ages to reach the goal if one is even fortunate enough to do so. Besides, nature by itself hardly helps one to disentangle himself from the karmic order, for that spells self-extinction for her and her brood. Human birth is a rare privilege indeed, and this privilege one gets after passing through a long evolutionary process in creation, extending through innumerable forms or embodiments that the life principle takes on the physical plane. Once this golden opportunity is lost, the jiva or embodied spirit has to continue on the wheel of life according to the usual predominant world traits during his lifetime, and particularly those which forcefully project themselves at the time of his passing away from this world, the law being where the mind is, there the spirit goes irresistibly. This being the case, it is well nigh impossible for an average embodied spirit to get over the sensory planes and to keep the mind stilled and self-absorbed by his own unguided and unaided efforts, howsoever Herculean they may be. It is not only some godman or master power that may, in compassion, help the jiva in regaining the lost kingdom, the realm spiritual, from which each one has been driven out by his disobedience to the abyss of God. This course is then fraught with untold dangers, lurking at every step, even in the very nature of each individual. And hence, no sane person would ever think of attempting to tread this lonesome and weary path, which more often than not leads to a cul-de-sac or blind alley. By adopting the second course, one seeks a competent spiritual master who wields influence over the subordinate powers in this and higher planes of existence. He can wind up the karmic accounts of the bankrupt spirit. The moment he accepts an individual as his own, he takes in his own hand the process of liquidating the endless process of karma coming down from the unknown past. He calls a halt to the mad and reckless career in which one is engaged. So far and no further is his command. And then he puts an individual on the high road Godward. He does not usually interfere with a prolabdha or destiny, for it has of necessity to be worked off as well as possible, so as to complete the allotted span of life and to reap the fruit, while the sanchit or vast storehouse, he, by being the conscious co-worker with the divine plan, singes by contacting the spirit with the spark of Nam. Contact with Nam, or the Holy Word, at once reduces to ashes the storehouse of sanchit karmas, as well as unfructified kiryaman karmas done hitherto, just as a spark of fire reduces to ashes the entire forest or the heap of fuel that may be lying on the ground. Guru Nanak beautifully tells us in Japji, the morning prayer of the Sikhs, when the hands, feet, and the body are besmeared with dust, they are washed clean with water. When the clothes get dirty and polluted, they are cleansed by soap. When mind gets defiled by sin, it can be purified only by communion with the Word. Men do not become saints and sinners merely by words, but they carry deeds with them wherever they go. As one sows, so does one reap. O Nanak, men come and go by the wheel of birth and death, as ordained by His will. It is now clear that mind is the main magnet that attracts karmas with all their co-commitments. Mind maintains a mighty sway over man. It utilizes our suet attention, the outward expression of the soul within, as it means, which is the most precious of man's inherited faculties, the priceless jewel of immense virtue. The master saints come into the world with a divine purpose and a mission. They are commissioned from above to liberate man from the karmic bondage. When one is fortunate to find such a holy man and surrenders himself to his will, the latter takes charge of the spirit. His first and foremost task is to break the magic spell of the karmic tentacles that hold one in their deadly grasp. He advises each one to lead a well-regulated and highly disciplined ethical life so as to escape from contracting any more evil influences or karmic impressions. He tells us that all the bounties of nature, including sense objects, are for a legitimate and fair use only, and not for indulgence and enjoyment. All our troubles arise from the fact that we indulge in sense pleasures to surfeit with the result that instead of enjoying the worldly pleasures, the pleasures enjoy us to the full and leave us a total wreck, physically and mentally. We forget that true happiness is an attitude of the mind and springs from within. When we consciously awaken the life current, the Holy Word, lying dormant, and feed ourself on the life principle, immanent in all things, visible and invisible, the soul motor force creating and sustaining the entire universe. The past, the present, and the future, the God-man holds in his mighty grasp, and like a compassionate father, guides his children in the path of righteousness and rectitude, leading gradually to self-knowledge and God-knowledge, and attaining in the end the prize of Godhead. Just as a child does not know what his father provides for him from time to time, so does a neophyte not know what his heavenly Father does for him. It is by following in His ways that one may gradually learn the esoteric mysteries as these unfold themselves to him at each step. Poor soul in this, the flesh, what dost thou know? Thou art too narrow, wretch, to comprehend even thyself. And that's by J. Doan. That was chapter 2, and we will be going on to chapter 3, which starts, the way in which the master tackles the intricate and baffling problem of karmas may be briefly stated under Sanchit or seed karmas. These are latencies lying in the storehouse to one's account from endless ages, ever since the world began. No one escapes from them unless the same are worked off, without making any more additional thereto, which of course in the nature of things is an impossibility, in innumerable lives that lie ahead. It is, therefore, not possible to exhaust this tremendous credit balance in one's account. Is there, then, no way to cross over the great chasm that lies between the conscious and subconscious, and again, the gulf that separates the subconscious from the unconscious? Every wrong has remedy. It may be a spiritual or secular wrong. If one fries seed grains in a pan so they get puffed up, they lose their fecundity or power of fructification. That is to say, the power to germinate and bear fruit. Exactly in the same way, the Sanchit karmas can be seared and scorched with the fire of Nam, or word, and rendered harmless for the future. For then one becomes a conscious co-worker with a divine plan, losing all contact with the unknown past. Pralabdha karmas. These constitute one's present fate, his stock in trade or destiny, as it is called. The fruit of these has got to be borne, no matter how bitter or sweet, for one cannot avoid reaping the harvest already sown. The master, therefore, leaves them untouched for man to endure with loving sweetness and to finish up during his present lifetime. If these karmas were to be wiped out or tampered with in any way, the body itself would dissolve. In grappling with these, a disciple is, however, not left alone. As soon as the master initiates, the master power takes charge of the disciple. He is helped a good deal at every step. By gradual spiritual discipline, he learns the process of self-analysis and withdrawal and grows strong in spirit, with the result that the otherwise painful effects of these karmas just blows over as a gentle breeze, leaving him unscathed. Even in serious and incurable cases, the master power brings into operation his laws of sympathy and mercy. All troubles of the devoted disciples are greatly mitigated and softened. Sometimes the intensity of bodily and mental troubles is increased a little to shorten the duration of the suffering involved, while at other, the intensity is greatly reduced and the duration is prolonged, as may be considered appropriate. But this is not all. The sufferings, troubles, and diseases of the physical body accrue from sense pleasures. Bodily troubles are, of course, to be borne by the physical body. The master, as a word personified or polarized God, knows all about disciples, wherever they may be, either at a distance or near at hand. He may even take over, by the law of sympathy, the burden of the karmas of his devoted disciples on his own shoulders to bear himself, for the law of nature has to be compensated in one form or another. This happens in very rare cases, as the master may think fit. Besides, no disciple would like to adopt a course in which the holy master should suffer for his wrongs. On the contrary, a disciple must learn to pray to his master sincerely, and if he does, all feasible help is sure to come to relieve him or to soften the situation and to minimize the resultant suffering. The soul itself becomes strong by feeding on the bread of life and drawing sustenance from the water of life. And I will stop there. I was reading from The Wheel of Life, starting from page 15, and I finished on page 26 at the bottom of the page. Thank you, Blessed Master, for everything.
And thank you, Eileen, for reading for us. There were 75 people at this morning's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And thank you, Master, for providing this for us.
So, what to do then? What he says, live up. And you'll find the truth. The truth which is clothed in light. The truth which is the symphonies of the music of all harmonies. Which is the outer aspect of the God-directing power, which is called Word, and Word was made flesh and dwelt among us.